This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Nice. Chippy Chip. I like that for you.
I thought that was you.
No, I'm the pinch. I have been for years and years.
Yeah.
Get your crab claws out. Everybody knows that Jake's the pinch because I get shit done in a pinch. You can count on me when you're in a bind. That's right. That's right. When the pressure's on, Jay Money gets it done.
Yeah.
It's Chippy Chip is sort like, of like...
It's a little insulting.
So more than a little insulting. I mean, you're nothing more than a chipmunk. You're a little squirrel man. You're basically a woodpecker, except you can't fly. Right. You're a wimpy little beaver. You're woodland bitch.
A wimpy little beaver.
Yeah, that's what you are. And I'm a crustacean, man. I'm a lobster. I'm a crab. I got claws, and you better watch out because you're getting pinched.
Nice. That was written by Claire Snitovsky.
Nice. That was a great song. I liked it a lot. She did a great job.
She says she has a little unsolicited advice for us. Should we read it?
Really? Yeah, sure.
If you don't know what to buy someone for a present, think about just one thing that they like, then look up a subscription box for that specific interest and just order the box for their birth month, then remove everything from the branded box and put it in a different box so they don't know that you didn't know them well enough to buy them a real present.
So you find out one thing, get them a box.
Yeah.
Then you take the box, put it in a different box, disguising the fact that you got a subscription box.
Yeah, like if there was like a basketball subscription box, you would order it just for 1 month, get the free preview or whatever, and then cancel your membership.
Mm.
You put all the contents of the b-ball box and put it in like a box that you found.
So it's totally free.
That's right, totally free, and it's a series of small gifts that you didn't have to pay for that match their interest.
Very cool. That is smart. I like that. I like that for you because you're sort of a little rodent rat type guy that doesn't want to.
We already said.
That doesn't want to spend cash on his friends. I like that for you.
Claire also says, she also says that she has no real plug, but if we can add her on LinkedIn or if you know someone looking for an environmental geoscientist, she's attached her resume.
Oh, environmental. I wonder if she studies these little striped rodents from the family Shiridae, which is what a chipmunk is. I'm on the Wikipedia for your family tree right now. It's kind of cool.
The Wikipedia for my family tree.
Yeah, they're found in North America, except for the Siberian chipmunk, which is found primarily in Asia.
Yeah.
So I guess that's probably where
I'm obviously not that.
Well, you came from the other side of the pond, so no. I was thinking you're probably more of a Siberian chipmunk than a like North American weather. Chipmunk.
It sounds cold, actually, and I'm not interested in doing that, so thank you.
Well, they're found throughout Asia. It's not necessarily just... I think they originated in Siberia, but I'm sure that... Yeah, let me read about the distribution.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to read about the distribution of the Siberian chipmunk. I don't think so.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, the Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Austria. Yeah. This sounds like this is definitely more you.
No.
Very cool. It doesn't say anything about their chubby ass little cheeks and their buck teeth, but it talks about how they live in coniferous forests and stony areas.
It's more like scientific than like
the Wikipedia page. Shrub.
Yeah. The wiki page for that species wouldn't talk about, quote, chubby ass little cheeks. That's like not what scientists
They mark their territory with urine, which is something you do.
No, I don't. I just be in a toilet. I guess that's me marking the toilet as mine, but I'm not like going
around. It's your toilet, right?
Yeah, it is my toilet, but I'm not like pissing around like my house or anything. Like I have taken a leak around my house. That's just to keep dogs at bay.
Have you ever taken leak? Yes, you pee like in front of your house.
Yeah, I'll pee in front of my house and I'll pee in front of other people's houses to sort of mark my territory, but I'm not like going around like a chipmunk.
That's what it's about. Yeah. That is what it's about.
I just want little like animals to smell my urine so that they know it's like, okay,
That's exactly what we're talking about with Siberian chipmunks and chipmunks writ large.
Yeah. all right. Well, thank you, Claire, for that. One more problem without you. One less problem without you. Parody. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Appreciate it. This is, of course, If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by us. Last episode of the decade.
Whoa. 2020. Here we come.
That's right.
Goddamn.
This episode's for December 30th, 2 days before the decade ends. LeBron James's birthday as well. Shout out to the GOAT.
Damn, is that true? I didn't know that.
He's turning 35 today.
Wow, his golden birthday.
Well, no, golden is like, he's turning 30 on the 30th.
He's turning 30 on the 30th. He's turning 35, but it's on the 35th, which is kind of cool.
No, it's not. It's on the December. That's today, December 30th.
Let's try to move on. You don't have to like nitpick every single thing I say. Okay. So.
We got a 21-year-old
on every little hiccup that I come across, but you just want to harangue me, I guess. No.
I'm ready.
Hang me out to dry.
Let's get started.
We don't beating a dead horse, Blumenfeld.
I agree.
Let's just bury the hatchet.
Okay.
And press on, my friend. Carry on my wayward son. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
What's that?
Fuck off, man. Sorry. Nothing.
Yeah, we got a question from a 21-year-old gal in Connecticut.
Oh, shit. That's where I am right now.
That's right. What's a 21-year-old gal's name in Connecticut?
Claire.
Oh, all right. Just like the lady that wrote us in.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool.
I'm in a bit of a pickle, writes Claire, this 21-year-old gal in Connecticut. There's an absolute hunk I've been talking to recently. Way out of my league. Tall. Blonde, you get the drift.
Mm-hmm, super.
I thought we were vibing. Yeah, I thought we were vibing, and then he made a joke that said, "Maybe we're related." Does that mean he's not interested? Why would he give me his phone number over Instagram DM if he wasn't into me? If he is still interested, should I still pursue someone that makes incest jokes? Thanks, a boozle doozles. Love, Claire.
So what was the context in which he said maybe we're related? Do they look alike or did they? I don't understand.
Yeah, they either look alike, have the same last name, similar uncles, maybe.
And she's like, I don't want to pursue someone that makes incest jokes.
Yeah, or does that mean like, is it like the same kind of thing where it's like, yeah, you remind me of my little sister?
I mean, that's a lot creepier than saying like, haha, maybe we're related. Like, I would be less inclined to hang with someone who kept on talking about how I remind them of their sibling. That seems creepy.
Yeah.
A maybe we're related isn't even necessarily an incest joke if you haven't like hooked up with them yet.
Yeah, but it's still like...
In fact, actually, you're the one that's inferring. You're obsessed with incest.
Me?
Yeah, you. But I don't know what else I would expect from a Siberian chipmunk.
Yeah, I guess a good piece of unsolicited advice is to not bring up the idea or put into the ether some sort of notion that you are related to the person you're flirting with.
Yeah, that makes sense. But at the same time, if someone does do that, it kind of seems fine as long as it's not like direct incest joke.
Yeah.
If you haven't fucked yet, then you can say as much as you want about being related, I think.
Really? You don't think it kind of ruins the mood a little bit?
I guess it could. Well, not you put it like that.
You're my cousin in a way.
Right up until the moment of penetration, it's fine to talk about being related.
Like during foreplay, it's fine to mention that you could be someone's uncle.
If you're doing sloppy seconds, you can mention that you're second cousins. And if you're at third, you can say we're third niece and nephew.
Twice removed.
And first base is first place for first kissing cousins. But it's a home run that isn't homespun. You can knit that into a quilt and sell it on your cafe press.
No way.
Web store skits.
No, what a stupid quilt that would be. That would suck.
I think that's a fine quilt.
That weird riddle poem about fucking your fucking cousins, you want to knit it onto a quilt?
Well, obviously it wouldn't fit on a t-shirt. It's too...
No.
It's a little too robust of a saying.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that it's not worth putting on a blanket and having it on as a throw.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the length of the sentence. It was the context of it.
Yeah, I guess I think to each their own.
That would be an awful quilt.
Maybe, but I think that's the polarization of it is what makes it interesting.
Does that mean he isn't interested? She asks.
No, I think it just means he made a bad joke.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe he regrets it. Maybe he doesn't think about it at all.
Right. I think he made a dumb joke that you're reading too far into. It's not that he's not interested, but I also don't think it should, it shouldn't cool you off entirely. I think it's still fine.
Would he, should I still pursue someone that makes incest jokes?
I think if they make, it depends on the incest joke. Like, I don't think this guy made a really offensive incest joke.
There's been worse.
Yeah. I think at least in terms of the joke that he made, it's fine. And if the incest stuff continues, then I guess I probably wouldn't pursue that person. But for now, proceed with caution.
And reverence.
Yeah. There's not a lot of people to hook up with when you're home for the holidays, especially in Connecticut. I felt your pain once before. So I think this is like, in the grand scheme of things, this is still chill. And it's worth hanging, especially if you're super attracted to him.
All right. We got another question about a guy who's married, but in some sort of social media predicament.
Ooh.
So we'll call him... what's a character from the new Star Wars movie?
I haven't seen it yet. Probably friggin' Luke Skywalker.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Luke writes, "Hi guys, I'm friends with a girl who got into pole dancing within the last year. She posts videos of herself pole dancing on Instagram pretty much every day. I also have a vocation and post photos or Instagram videos pretty much every day, which she likes a large percentage of. I'm very impressed with her dancing, and I feel like I should reciprocate, but it feels creepy in a way. The stuff she posts is very sexually suggestive. I'm worried that me suddenly starting to like most of her stuff will make things weird between us in person, because I'm in a relationship, but my girlfriend doesn't use Instagram, so her seeing me liking things and getting jealous isn't really an issue. Thanks. Love, Luke Skywalker."
Wait, he's going to start liking her posts. And he thinks that's... Why does he think it's weird?
Because she's stripping in it. And then it's like, whoa, is this flirtatious all of a sudden? I'm liking your hot photos now.
Wait, it's his girlfriend or his friend?
His friend, but he's in a relationship with somebody else.
Oh, Sorry, I thought it was his girlfriend and he was worried about liking his... Okay, this changes things.
Yeah, he's like in a relationship and his other friend who he like usually likes photos of is now posting sexy photos. So it's like, ugh, should I not like this? Because they're all hot.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't. I probably wouldn't.
Do you do that?
I don't know what the right answer is. Maybe I'm not giving it, but I think you just like other people see it. Just try not to like the thirst trap photos, even if you're not liking it for the thirst trappy reason.
Yeah.
Even if you're like, I'm proud of you for being a good dancer. I think you still might as well not like the photo.
Yeah. What if you don't like it, but you just leave that as a caption? I'm proud of you for being a good dancer. In a non-sexual way,
to me.
I am sort of distancing myself from the hotness of it. I did want to check in and hashtag let you know that I do congratulate you on being a good stripper. Not stripper, dancer, of course. You're not stripping. You're just on a pole. Shit, submit.
Right, perfect. You know what? Can I, Amira, do you mind if I pick up this phone call that I'm getting real quick? We can leave it in the pod.
What?
1 second. Oh, no, I missed it.
Okay.
So, yeah, my car broke down, and it got sent to East Rock Auto. Shout out to East Rock Auto. They're great.
Okay.
I needed a new alternator. I was hoping they were going to be able to get it to me. It's a thing that charges your battery or keeps your battery in line. I guess maybe it helps it hold the charge. I'm not entirely sure. But it's something to do with my car's battery. I thought my battery was
dead. Your car didn't turn on.
Yeah, my car didn't turn on. We jumped it. It turned on for a little while. I drove downtown. It didn't turn on again. I called AAA. They told me that it was that I needed a new alternator.
And so now your car's at the shop and they called you to tell you about your alternator?
Yeah, exactly. So I was sort of curious as to what they were saying when they were calling me back. But you know what? I missed the call. There's not really anything I can do about it now. Let's press on.
You can call them back if you want.
Well, is that insane? Here's a voicemail I can play from them.
Okay.
We'll splice this into the episode, right?
Okay. Yeah. Or put it up to the microphone.
Hi, Jacob. Paul from East Rock Auto. The Toyota truck is all set for you. I'm here tonight until 5:30. Thanks.
They have my truck. it's fixed. Oh, shut up, Siri. This is the fucking riveting ass podcast content people tune in for.
And
it's
now
me checking my voicemail. It's me yelling at Siri. Now I go to East Rock Auto and I pick up my car.
And then aren't you getting rid of your car though anyway?
Yeah, this is actually a fun story, especially because my sister, Sarah, listens to the podcast. But we're releasing this episode on the 30th, so this will have already happened by now.
Okay.
But I am giving my truck to my sister as a Christmas gift.
So the gift is, here's my broken-ass truck, the alternator. Well, it's going to be work. The charge doesn't keep. It often dies, but hey, it's yours to deal with.
Yes, this is why you're a fucking rodent, because I do something that's nice for my sister, and you fucking just belittle it.
Why don't you give her the car you're gonna get, and then you keep your shitty ass broken down truck? What's your new car gonna be? I want Sarah to have that car.
I'll give you something, man. It's a fucking turdy.
What?
How's that? You get a turdy for your negative ass attitude and your energy towards my Tacoma, which is the GOAT truck. It's the best truck of all time. I've had it for like 10 fucking years, and it just broke down today for the first time ever.
For the first time ever?
Well, the one other time the battery also died. I've had problems with it, but it has never broken down before. That's never happened, except for one other time, okay?
I just jump-started a car for the first time last week.
Really?
Yeah.
And how did that experience go for you?
It was a little difficult, but YouTube sort of paved the way. I was scared because I had to use like jumper cables and they're like, don't do this because it might electrocute you. So the stakes were high.
Yeah, it is. I've always had older cars. So I've been jumping cars since I turned 16.
Have you ever
No, but I made sparks fly out of it one time.
Yeah.
The fun thing about jumping a car is that it makes you feel really manly and like you know what you're doing and you feel like an auto mechanic without actually doing anything.
Right. It's basically like a children's puzzle.
Yeah, you pop a hood, you clip on the four cables, and then you start the car, you start the other car, and then like the car that was dead comes to life, and you're like, wow, I fixed it, and like there were two hoods popped. You just feel really good, but you don't actually. It's not actually that hard, which is why it's nice.
You didn't actually fix anything. You just sort of put a cable on a little node.
Especially today, which I've jumped three different cars today alone.
Oh.
And because my dad's car died, so I jumped it, which then I think killed my battery.
Oh.
We jumped my battery. I went downtown, car died, jumped it again, and it didn't work. So AAA had to tow it.
I did learn that after you start your car, after jumping, you have to like drive it for half an hour because that's what charges the battery.
Yeah, when your car is on, you're charging the battery.
Yeah, so you can't just charge
it. Apparently, it has something to do with an alternator.
Oh, interesting. Now I'm learning something new.
Because, yeah, my alternator was... So the guy from AAA was showing me. It's like, your battery, I just jumped it. It's at 10 volts. Like, it should be at 14. It should be climbing. But watch. And then we watched as it went down from... Like, it was at 10. Then it was at 9. Then it was at 8. It was like, oh, okay. So, like, even though my battery was just jumped, it's slowly dying without the alternator.
Yeah, why don't car batteries have, like, phone batteries? Give me, like, a percentage. Let me know how close I am to dying.
I think some cars do. Newer cars definitely do.
Yeah, my car doesn't. It has the gas gauge, of course, but nobody cares that much about the battery gauge, evidently.
Yeah, I guess like, well, if you have like an electric car, it'll show you.
Yeah, that's everything. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with some more questions and answers before the decade expires. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul, yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike, like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right, cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized mm-hmm. to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast,
super simple. It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah. kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress, and all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20. All one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we are back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than five. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. I don't think I do, but what about you, bud?
I have some New Year's resolution that I thought I'd pass on, and maybe you could join me. Maybe our listeners can join as well.
I'm curious. Let's hear it.
My classic New Year's resolutions, of course, is to use my phone less, to read more, to exercise more. These are overarching ones that I do to varying degrees of success, but never anything completely long-lasting.
Right.
So I thought, let's get specific this year. Let me see if I can do this much. I want to, and I urge everyone to do the same, not view any Instagram stories. That's right. Literally the least you can do.
Well, are you going to post on Instagram stories?
Of course.
Because sometimes we promote shit. Okay.
Yes.
So you want people who you rely on to look at and click your Instagram stories to stop. I think that's... I'm not even condemning it. I respect it because I agree that Instagram stories are universally bad.
Yep. Empty calories.
My life has never, ever been enriched by looking at an Instagram story. I've never, ever watched one and said, I'm glad I did that,
yeah.
Let alone even remember what I saw.
That's right. Minutes turn into hours, turn into, I don't know how many days I've spent this year looking at stories that just sort of enter my eyes and exit through my brain like empty calories flowing through me. I can't remember any of them, like you said.
I'll tell you a couple of the negative things that looking at Instagram, or this, all right, so this is one theory that I have about Instagram stories, because sometimes when I have like a ton of emails, a ton of errands, a ton of notifications, just like shit that I have to do, I will compulsively look at Instagram and just like click through stories without really like just like letting it wash over me. And I think it's satisfying to know that you're like getting rid of notifications, because those don't mean anything. And you're like, I'm going to clear this feed. I can't clear anything else. I have texts to respond to. I have things to record. I have places to be, but I can click through this and it'll be empty and it'll be done.
Yeah, but I never get to the end of it. There's always more. I watch 6, 7, and I'm like, I have to stop. There's like 80 more, and I'm not going to be able to watch them all.
Oh, yeah. I don't get through it either, but I think that there's something satisfying about like click, click, notification cleared, clear, clear. I do it with Twitter sometimes too. Like just here's a blue button, and now it's not a blue button anymore. Yeah. I did good. There's some kind of like weird Pavlovian response to be like, this thing has been activated. So I think that's first of all, that's just my theory. Here's something negative that I think happens from Instagram stories. I will be at a party catching up with someone I haven't seen in a while. And they'll be like, oh, I was just in Paris. And I'll be like, oh, I saw. Like it matters. Like I like their Instagram story of the Eiffel Tower conveys anything of the emotion and the adventure of their, like, of the journey that they were on.
Right.
Like, I feel compelled to say that I saw it on Instagram. So it, like, aside from being a time suck, I think it downgrades your conversations when people tell you about their lives if you, like, have seen it already on Instagram.
Right. I don't need to catch up with you. I already know what you saw and what happened.
Right. And I think you still do need to catch up with people, but I think it gives you a sense that you don't, or that you already have caught up, that you're up to date, you're up to speed on somebody.
Right.
And here's my last thing that I would say about Instagram stories. If you eliminate Instagram stories, if you don't look at them, all you have left is Instagram posts, which are also bad. Have you thought about that? Yes. Why not just give up Instagram entirely? Because the posts, I'm thinking about like, oh, okay, so maybe if I don't look at Instagram stories, I look at my posts. And what am I? That's all garbage too, man.
And then at that point, why are you stopping at Instagram? What are you checking Twitter for?
This is insane. Just looking at Instagram, it's so dumb. Because
you can just look at it once a day before bed and see everything in 9 minutes, but instead you're checking it 34 times a day for 30 seconds.
Yep.
But
oh my God, Instagram stories are so dumb.
You said you moved Instagram from your home screen. Did that do anything?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. I definitely, I don't know if it's made like a major impact on like how often I look at it, but it makes me a little more conscious every time I do. I'm like, here I go. You know, right. it's not a robotic click. It's like oh, where is it? Oh, it's on this page. Oh, you're looking at Instagram. Good for you.
Oh, good for you.
It gives you a tiny little sense of shame, which you deserve.
Do you think you'll join me in this experiment?
Yeah, I guess I'm at least, I'm curious.
That means you'll never do it.
Never, ever. They make them so goddamn enticing. I think I would be more likely to do something like look at Instagram once a day, or like, yeah, that would be more my thing.
Right. Either right before bed or right when you wake up, like a morning digest.
Limit the time. Because I think what I have more of a problem with is the amount of times all of my apps get open. Like when I'm just standing there, I'm like, I'll refresh New York Times, I'll refresh Twitter, I'll refresh my email, look at Slack. I'm just like trying to find something to do with my time. You know what I've been doing since I've been home is just leaving my phone like upstairs so I can actually talk to people without being like looking at my phone.
Yeah. And then do you ever notice like whenever there's a lull in the conversation and six people are on their phone and yours is upstairs?
Yeah. But then I sort of just sit there smugly and I'm like, I'm better than my mom.
Do you ever say that out loud?
I'm better than everyone. I said that out loud last night, but it was at 2 a.m. and I was in my parents' room as they were trying to sleep and I was trashed.
And I was using my phone because I didn't look at it all day. So I'm sort
of backed my truck into the shed.
I'm scrolling on Snapchat saying, I'm better than my mom. I'm better than my mom. Look at me. I'm better than my mom.
Yeah.
All right. That's my unsolicited. Let's see if I can even follow it.
I like it. I do think that there's no point in the amount that we all look at our phones. That's true. Do you remember that guy, Dan, who works at the bar that was doing that phone light box or light phone?
Yeah, he had like a little flip phone that didn't have any apps on it.
Yeah, it's his friends that started this thing. It's called the light phone. It like only does emails and texts.
No maps even.
Yeah. It seems like you need maps, but you know,
let's get lost again. We don't get lost anymore. Do you realize how fucked up that is? Kids don't get lost. That's everything. Yeah.
I don't know if I need maps that often.
Oh, sorry.
For the most part.
I was just trying to have this like revelation, but no, you're right. You don't really
need it. No, yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. Kids don't get lost. You want more children getting lost.
No, right? Not like in a bad way. I was just saying that wonderment is gone a little bit.
Right. Well, my net worth is tied up in this podcast a little bit. But so like, can we not go on record saying Amir Blumenfeld wants to lose children? Because like, no, you get canceled, I get canceled. No. Like, that is not ideal for us.
Yeah, I don't want kids to get lost. I mean, like, lost in a book or something. I don't know. Like, always, they should always have their phones on and listening to this show, I think.
You turned it into children should listen to the show. They should always have their phones on and listening to the show. Oh, can you just, like...
I don't know how to say the wrong things. I'm this close to the year 2020.
Yeah. So let's do New Year's resolution. You don't pitch children getting lost, and then you also don't insist that they listen to our show nonstop. I think that's...
So children can do whatever they want as long as they have maps, I think, is my unsolicited advice.
Fine. Fine. Awful.
We have a lady who's in a New Year's Eve dilemma. We have 2 days. She has 2 days Whoa. To listen to this.
There's just time. I don't have a New Year's resolution, so I think I have to... By next week, I've got to come up with one. It's too early for me to have a New Year's resolution. It's going to be to get jacked. All right, go ahead.
That's your New Year's and every Tuesday resolution.
Yeah, nonstop.
All right, Eve writes, I'm going to a party on New Year's Eve with my boyfriend and his friends. My other friend, let's call her Ella, wants to come to the party with me and has pretty much invited herself. This would be fine if she hadn't slept with the host of the party. His name is Jake. Earlier this year, and then he ghosted her, and I know he wouldn't want me to bring her. So what should I do? I don't want to be rude to Ella and leave her out of my New Year's plans, but I know Jake won't want her there, and he may even say that she can't come if I ask him. But what if she's already invited herself? Do you see my quandary? Thank you. Love, Eve.
I think if it's a party that you can just bring this person, it's not your problem that you're bringing her. And it's more Jake's problem for sleeping with someone and ghosting them. Yeah. So, like,
do you feel bad bringing someone that the host ghosted? Like, what are you bringing her for? I ghosted and I'm hosting now.
I ghosted and then I hosted. The host can't ghost.
You can't spell ghost without host.
I just don't. Yeah. Like, I think if it's a big enough party, it doesn't really matter. And if, as long as this girl, Ella, is not trying to go to confront Jake, because then you're sort of like enabling a weird confrontation and maybe it should just happen not at a party. But it's,
yeah, that's what I'm curious about. Does she only want to go to be like, oh, well then, you ghosted me and here I am. That's right. Eve brought me, so you can't get mad at me.
I think that it seems like it's more like, I want to go to a party. I don't care about Jake ghosting me anymore. Or maybe she's like, maybe I'll still hook up with him if she still likes him. You never know. But as long as Ella hasn't like given you any signs, like I want to go so I can cause a scene, then it seems like it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Ask your friend if her intentions are true.
I wonder if you even have to ask the intentions. It's also like, I don't know. This is so, Ella doesn't need your invitation to go if she already invited herself. She knows the party. She knows the host. She had sex with him. She can definitely just show up. All you're doing is giving her a ride and you're probably taking an Uber. So you could just be like, I don't know. Hey, I'm just here at your party. Thanks for having me. Did you hook up with Ella? Weird. Bye. I'm going to go get punch.
We don't have punch. I specifically didn't have punch because I knew Ella wouldn't be here.
Sorry, you didn't have punch because you know how much Ella likes punch, but she wasn't coming, so you didn't have it?
I was afraid she'd want punch.
You guys are both clearly obsessed with each other. Maybe you should be together.
I love her. I just can't deal with the punch talk anymore.
The ghost reappears.
It's a disaster already. So yeah, you can bring donut. You don't have to ask for permission, right?
Yeah. No, I don't think you have to ask. Asking for permission inserts you in a way that seems like more meaningful than you need to be. This is not your drama. You're just going to a party.
That's right.
You didn't ghost anyone. You're not hosting a party. You are not even like, yeah, you're fine. Whatever is going to happen, it's going to happen with or without you.
All right. Last question. Ready?
But have fun. Yeah.
Okay. Have fun. We'll call this guy Australia because he's from Australia.
Cool.
So I met this girl and she's great and we hit it off immediately and I've had 4 nights of passionate sex, been out a few times and nonstop communicating ever since. I've known her for about 6 weeks, but the trouble is she's gone off to Europe for 10 weeks. Here's the thing. I really want to message her the whole time she's there from back home in Australia and ask her about the trip, etc. But I want her to, you know, live her best life. And I don't want to be her. I don't want to be the reason that she doesn't have an amazing time and fuck heaps of hot Italians or whatever.
I've developed a strong connection and aim on continuing it when she's back home. I don't want her to go fuck heaps of dudes, obviously, but I also don't want to, like, rob her of any fun experience. I guess my question is, do I cut communication while she's traveling, or does that send the wrong message? Thanks. Day one. Love you guys. Australia.
I love the Aussies. Heaps. Heaps.
She's gonna fuck heaps of guys.
Mate, we'll sort it out. We'll sort it. Don't worry.
Call that a knife. This is a knife, guys.
And we lost all of our Australian fans. Wow.
Of course. Roddy Roo.
Wallalaloo.
Do you text at all? Do you text too much? Do you let her decide the tempo of texting?
I think I really like this guy's mindset. Like, he likes her. He wants to talk with her, but he doesn't want to rob her of the experience. But he doesn't want her to fuck heaps of guys. But he also was like, hey, live your best life. I think that's kind of that. Take that in your heart moving forward. You can contact her as you probably less than constantly, like less than you'd want to.
Yeah.
But check in, ask how things are going, and follow her lead. Like, if you check in, you say, hey, and she's like, doesn't respond for a few days and doesn't give you a lot, then like, yeah, give her a little space. But if she's responding a whole bunch and like reaching out to you first and sending you pictures of her trip, then communicate as much as it's a dance. Just
feel
what is natural based on what you're getting.
Here's what I say. You set the tempo at one text per day. Then based on her response time, you adjust accordingly. If she takes 3 days to respond, you can't go faster than 50% of that time traveled, okay? So you text her Wednesday at 11 p.m. She doesn't respond until Thursday at 11 p.m. You better not text her back until Friday at 11 a.m. That's right. Right. If you do it too fast and too, like, out of her tempo, she's going to be off put. If you waited her tempo, that might also be too slow. She's traveling. You're just at home. Why are you waiting a day? So you have to set it at exactly half the distance to her goal in order to achieve the goal of texting her, keeping the lines of communication open, but not freaking her out or distancing her too much.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I think, well, I could have said it, you sort of like, you sounded a little...
I'm pissed.
Yeah, you sounded unhinged. It was a weird rant.
I'm erratic.
But like, if you had written that down and submitted it to me and I said it in a normal voice, I think that's good advice.
Yeah.
You freaked out.
Yeah.
You kind of...
I freaked out a little bit.
It felt like you spiraled into madness as you said it. But it was mostly...
Like I'm sweating, yeah.
Yeah, it felt like it was mostly about like the... It was like the cadence of your voice, not actually the content of
the pitch, too. Yeah,
right, the pitch, too. Yeah, you're still freaking out for some reason. Why? I don't understand it.
Yeah, like, why am I mad?
Now you're seeming like you're crying a little bit. You're,
but I'm not
beet red. What's your hair is matted?
Yeah, it's greasy for the first time.
For the first time,
I've never had like a greasy haircut now.
The question, though, to me is I agree with everything that you've said.
Yeah.
But setting the pace, here's like, what is the first, it's the first few text messages that are the hard ones. It's the pace setting. It's, you need the lap car. So like, you send that first text, she's on the flight. You send the first text like that night, maybe like, hey, I hope you got there safe. I hope you're settling in. I have a great trip. And like, let me know how it is or something, or some kind of inside joke, yada, yada. Do you really?
You're smothering me.
That's a good text. That's fine. That one's, she's there. Do you really? You're saying set the pace at one a day. Do you really send a text the following day after you say, I hope your flight was good. Have an amazing trip. You're going to set the pace at one a day and you're going to be like, hey, just checking in. What's for brekkie today?
Send like, a selfie, would ya?
Have an amazing time. I want you to experience everything.
Hey, avocado toast? Did you bring any Vegemite? Missed your heaps.
Have you fucked an Italian yet? Would ya?
Hey, it's your boyfriend in Adelaide. I'm on the next flight to Florence.
How's the gangbang in Venice? Send me your Airbnb information. I'm starting to freak out.
Yeah. Do you really send the text the next day? I think you have to send the welcome to the rest of your life text. Have a good one. And then you have to wait. You have to wait.
Are you telling me there's no Wi-Fi anywhere you've been? It's not like I'm asking you to check into an internet cafe. WhatsApp is free once you've dialed up. Alrighty-roo. Miss you heaps. How many Italians have you fucked, m'lady? Because I'm starting to get a little creeped out that you're not interested in me. It's
not Australian pirate now. What happened?
I've decided to walk the plank with ya. You've broken my heart, and I have to shart. Nyer.
Nyer.
No, but I do miss you, so call me back.
Pirate's life for me. All right, babe.
Remember when we went on a, I believe it was Australia or New Zealand or somewhere, and I was sort of dating someone, and then there was no communication over it. It got like very cool and casual to the point where we didn't text for the entire time. And then I got home and the relationship basically ended. Like, I texted her that I was back. She didn't respond. And we didn't see each other for years.
I do. I remember that incredibly well. We were in, I believe it was Australia. We were gone for like 10 days. And in the middle of that trip, you guys, the text thing had slowed. And you were like, I don't even know if we're going to see each other when we get back. We got back. I remember you texted shalom with an exclamation point. And you never heard back from her.
And I never reached out again.
No, you did. Don't you remember this part?
No.
3 years later, we were at Art Sisters Brewing Company. And didn't you guys meet up and you found out why she ghosted you?
Yeah, sort of. It was basically like neither of us were that interested in re-pursuing the relationship once I had returned. And so when I sent her shalom exclamation point, she's like, that's it? I'm not going to text you after that. And then she didn't respond to me, and I was like, that's it? I'm not going to fire another text message. And I guess it was for the best.
It had thinned to the point of, like, barely even acknowledging you coming back, and that was,
So I guess there is a risk
both, involved. When both sides have thrown their hands up.
Yeah.
But, like, that wouldn't have happened if you were super into it, like, because you would have gotten back, and you would have been like, hey, I'm back. I've missed you. I want to tell you all about my trip. Let's get dinner. And she wouldn't have been like... She wouldn't have not responded to that.
Yeah, or if she was super into it, she would have been excited to receive the shalom exclamation.
Right, so I think as long as one party is super into it, there will at least have to be some kind of clarity. Like, if you missed her the entire time, but felt like you didn't hear from her enough, and then she gets back and you're like, hey, I want to hear about the trip, like, then at the very least, you guys would have, like, a breakup. You won't get completely ghosted like Blumenfeld did.
I was a ghost by a host.
Yeah, well, I guess the ghost reappeared a few years later. I remember firing off those texts 3 years later. I don't know why we did that.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was 3 years or if it was just like 8 months.
I really thought it was at least a year.
I don't think I've seen that person since that refiring, so I guess it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
You're getting surgery soon. By the time this comes out, it'll have been done.
Yeah, I will either have a fixed metatarsal or I'll be dead. So
after all the hooting and hollering on this podcast, I feel like it's the end of an era. Your foot pain might be coming to a close.
My foot pain may actually be coming to a close. That would be absolutely incredible. I go under the knife on Tuesday, and it's Friday right now. So I've got 4 days. I'm going into surgery in 4 days.
Yeah, and then by the time this comes out, it'll be like a week after that. So we'll be able to fill people in the new year.
Oh yeah, baby.
Well, Godspeed. I hope you survive it.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. I think I got my pre-op and they said I was healthy. I had a good blood pressure, they said.
That's good.
And I'm not allergic to anesthesia, so I have a good chance.
All right. So if you have any questions for us or theme song submissions, the email address for all of it always is ifireyoushow@gmail.com. Claire wrote the opening one. This closing one, You know, it was really good, and I can't remember if we used it before. So if we used it before, I apologize, but it's good. So,
and if you're hearing it again, you're welcome.
It's by Rob August. So thank you, Rob, for submitting it twice for us. Thank you, Claire, as well. Thanks to you guys for listening throughout the decade. Here's to another 10 years together.
Damn. Love it.
2020 through 2030.
Yeah. You know, next we should do like next week, we should just do like a year or a reflection on the decade.
A decade. Where were
we? Yeah. That's what we should have done for this podcast. But
all right. I'll delete the audio and we could just start it again.
Oh, awesome. All right. Cool.
All right. Cool. We'll be back next week. Bye, everybody.
Peace.
Tell me about a time you had a situation you didn't know how to seize the cheese. You can have the best advice. Jake and Chipmunk give their two cents, but you mostly waste your time on the podcast called If I Were You.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.